The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here. Coming up a little later on in the program, we'll get a review of Disney Fantasy down there in Port Canaveral, Florida. Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, out living the high life on board Regent's most luxurious ship in the world. So he's not here this week. Sherry Kennedy from CruiseMaven.com taking his shoes, filling his shoes here in just a couple of minutes. We'll check in with Sherry. A couple of things before we get to her, though. Cruise Radio News, it's our private Facebook group. Look us up and come join the cruise conversation. Also, follow us on Snapchat. Yeah, we're Cruise Radio on there. All right, Sherry Kennedy on the line to talk some cruise news. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Doug. How are you doing?
Good. They just christened, they're coining it the world's most luxurious cruise ship. How luxurious are we talking?
Well, the new Regent Seven Seas Explorer is over the top luxurious, at least in my out of my wallet it would be. Their most expensive suite is going for $10,000 a night.
Wow.
But, you know, for that money, you're getting a $90,000 horsehair mattress. And if you bring your sheet music, you can have a Steinway grand piano that you can play valued at about $250,000. Hmm. So it's pretty luxurious, pretty opulent and over the top. Yeah, it was christened earlier this week in Monaco by Princess Charlene with Prince Albert Ranier at her side. Okay. And there's a lot of fanfare. You know, where else would you christen the most luxurious ship in the world except in Monaco?
So a bed made of horsehair. To me, it's like sleeping in a barn. But, you know, if that's your thing, go ahead and do it. And that's the Regent. What is it called? The Regent Explorer?
Regent Seven Seas Explorer,
okay,
yes.
Okay, good. Happy to have that happening. Moving on to the next thing here. A Florida cruise port, actually in our own backyard, they welcomed their 2 millionth cruise passenger this past week. What are the details on that?
Well, the details are it was her first cruise. Her name is Karina Alejandro. She hails from North Carolina, and she was just going on this short cruise on the Carnival Elation because it was her boss's wedding. Hmm. So, yeah, so she goes to check in with her fiancé and her son, and poof, it suddenly she becomes the 2 millionth cruise passenger at Jacksonville Port, like you said, and there was a small plaque exchange ceremony with the captain, Gigliotti, and the Jacksport officials. So it's a big deal to be a 200 to the 2 millionth passenger.
I know. Meanwhile, you guys down there in Port Canaveral are like, that's like 6 months for us. 2 million people.
Yeah.
But that's really, you know what? I live like 10 minutes away from the port here in Jacksonville. That ship goes out over 100% capacity every time. Over 100% meaning what? That it's more than two people per berth, right?
Yeah, third and fourth are filling up.
So it's like it averages at 106 or 104% capacity. So way to go, Jax. Congratulations there. And to the family that was at 2 millionth passenger. Hope to see 3 million here really soon as well. Moving on, Royal Caribbean offered a free cruise to a Good Samaritan. This is a feel-good story.
And this comes from all the way up in Boston. And it turns out a cab driver named Raymond McCausland was picking up a passenger who was checking out of a homeless shelter and moving into a hotel in Boston. And when the cab driver turned around after the passenger left, he noticed a backpack that was left behind. So he rummages through it looking for ID, I would imagine. And instead of finding personal belongings, he finds $187,000 in cash.
What's he doing at a homeless shelter with that much money?
Well, it turns out it's an inheritance.
Okay, good.
And he's probably been sleeping with it as a pillow, you know, just under his head, chained to his arm. But he was a little bit careless and left it in the taxi. But nevertheless, Raymond, whose nickname is Buzzy, went to the police. They tracked down the rightful owner, And when he was given his missing backpack with $187,000 in it, he gives the cab driver a $100 tip.
Wow.
Now, I saw this on the news, so it was kind of interesting. The cab driver was not really impressed with his tip, but Royal Caribbean must have felt sorry for him because they did award him with a 7-night Caribbean cruise on either the Oasis of the Seas or the Allure. And they will also provide airfare for two people, VIP, onboard amenities, and what's most important, free internet.
There you go. So was the taxi cab taking this guy to the Regent ship? Is that where he was going?
Yeah, right. He could. He couldn't sail for very long, though, on that amount of money.
Very nice.
He's probably not homeless anymore.
You know, good to see that there are still some good people left in the world. That happened to me, unfortunately, not with $187,000, but with my GoPro and recording gear in my Mac down in San Juan last December, boarding a ship down there. And the guy returned it to me. I was expecting – my passport was in there too. I was expecting I was going to take a flight home and just say goodbye to everything and buy all new stuff. The guy tracked me down back at the airport and brought me my stuff. It's really good people left out there in the world. Good to know that.
Isn't that a wonderful story? Yeah. That's a wonderful story. I remember when you contacted me, we were texting when you were checking into the hotel, and you go, oh my God, I don't have my backpack. I don't have my computer. And then you said, I'll get back to you later, and off you went.
Yeah, gosh, thank God that turned out well. Thank God that turned out well. Holland America, one of their ships, were rewarded for a rescue at sea. What kind of rescue did they perform, and what kind of award did they get?
Well, the captain and crew of Holland America's Viandam received a Seafarer of the Year award for 2016 from Lloyd's List North American Maritime Awards. That's a mouthful to say right there. But the captain of the ship and his crew rescued a pilot who ejected from his aircraft near Maui in the Pacific Ocean last year in January.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's not the first time Holland America has done a rescue at sea. In fact, you know, most cruise lines can probably claim that they've done it. However, it was twice or three times actually in 2015 that they came to a rescue of stranded either crew members or someone that was in a boat that was sinking pretty much.
Crazy. Imagine flying an airplane, getting ejected out into the middle of the Pacific Ocean and being rescued by a cruise ship. Probably not what you woke up to thinking that was going to happen today.
No. And luckily, you know, he did have a life raft.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was, you know, bobbing around on his own. So that was lucky. And I'm sure it had tracking devices and all that. But, you know, it takes a ship way off course sometimes to rescue someone. And it sort of wreaks havoc among the crew and logistics. But the passengers love it. And it's probably a wonderful deed. When they're able to do it, it's just great.
Last but not least, Sherry, and this might throw you for a loop because I didn't put this in the talking notes, but it looks like another cruise line could be heading to Cuba pretty soon. Right now, the only U.S. cruise line going there is Fathom, doing the people-to-people type of cultural work exchange. But it looks like one more cruise line could be heading there, or two more pretty soon?
Yeah, it looks like two more are on the drawing board. First of all, looks like at least two are on the drawing board. Oceana Marina and the Regatta are looking at adding Cuban voyages, hopefully before the end of the year, which would be pretty interesting. And Norwegian Sky, there's rumors that that's going to be doing trips from Miami to Cuba.
It always makes me wonder, like, because, you know, that's one of their oldest ships, Norwegian Sky. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if Royal Caribbean sends Empress of the Seas down in Cuba, too.
Yeah, I think they're going to all look at their oldest ship to launch as a, I don't want to call it a commuter back and forth, but, you know, they may even do the weekend trips. It's only 90 miles from Key West and another few to Miami. So, yeah, I think that's what we're going to start seeing within the next probably 2 years. More and more cruise lines are going to be sending their oldest ships as a test, I think, to see how it works and go from there.
Sherry, I have a listener question for you if you have time to answer it.
Oh, sure.
Okay. She says, recently divorced and going on a cruise next month. What kind of documentation will I need? I booked the cruise while I was still married.
Well, unless she's had a name change, and it sort of depends on what state she lives in also, there's really nothing that she has to do. As long as she's not bringing children from her divorced spouse with her, she doesn't need any documentation. She can always take it with her. But, you know, when you go through when you're applying for your pre-cruise registration, it just asks for your name. So unless you've had a name change where it does not match your passport, then you need to get documentation showing your divorce and showing your new legal name. But if nothing has changed, then nothing has changed, and she can proceed.
Let's break this down like I'm 5 years old, because we have to do that sometimes with me. So if her name was Becky Johnson, she got married and her name became Becky Smith. Now she's divorced and her name is Becky Johnson again.
If she goes back to her original name, she will need proof showing that she is divorced, and she will also have to make sure that her passport is the name that she's traveling under and how she's applied for her cruise.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, you know, and if she's taking any children with her, then she would have to get a signed permission slip, literally from the children's father and notarized, saying that he gives permission for her to take the children out of the country, because it is out of the country.
Well, this email sounds like her and her new lover are going, so I don't have any kids.
In that case, well, you never know. But yeah, no, as long as what she has legally matches her passport.
Yeah.
You know, whatever name she has legally changed to, if she's maintained her same name as when she was married and that's what her passport says, no problem. But if she's gone back to her original name, then she would have to bring documentation showing that she is now Johnson instead of Smith.
Good, 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 good. All right. Good. Congratulations, too, on the cruise you're going on. Not the divorce. No one likes divorce. we've been talking with Sherry Kennedy from cruisemaven.com. Sherry, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Doug. It's always fun.
This is Cruise Radio.
From its rich heritage, picturesque beaches, and unparalleled blue waters, it's no wonder over 7 million people cruise to the Caribbean every year. What do you want to do? Swim with stingrays at Stingray Bay? Go for an island tour? Take a beach break? Or set sail on a catamaran to spend the day snorkeling? Whatever you decide, CruisingExcursions.com has a shore excursion to fit your budget. Cruising Excursions knows your time on the island is limited and that you want to make the most of your day. That's why they have shore excursions up to 60% cheaper than the cruise lines and offer smaller, more personable tours. Find out for yourself. Research and book your next shore excursion at CruisingExcursions.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We always like to get your cruise reviews here on the show. If you have one you'd like to share, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. Like Anthony, him and his family just returned from a 7-night Eastern Caribbean sailing aboard Disney Fantasy. And Anthony's on the line this evening. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing wonderful, Doug. How about you?
Good, man. Can't wait to hear all about Disney Fantasy, a ship we haven't heard from in years here on the show. But before we get to the ship itself, let's take a step back and give us some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to sail this 7-night Eastern on Disney Fantasy?
Well, we have a 10-year-old daughter, Doug, who loves Disney World, and we wanted her to experience the magic of a Disney cruise. Plus, my wife and I, we're celebrating our 26th wedding anniversary, so we kind of killed two birds with one stone there.
Nice. Well, congratulations there. So you're up in, I believe you said you were like just north of Atlanta somewhere?
That is correct.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
So you make your way down to Port Canaveral. How was the embarkation process for you when you got there to board Disney Fantasy?
For Disney, it was extremely smooth. We parked off site at a lot near in Cape Canaveral, and they shuttled us over to the port. Once we arrived at the Disney Cruise Terminal, we were actually boarding the ship in about 15 minutes. It was a very quick process, including pictures as we boarded, and we didn't waste any time whatsoever getting on board.
Just curious, I know Port Canaveral recently just raised their parking lot rates at the cruise pier, and you mentioned you parked off-site. How did you find that off-site service?
We have been using that same service for a number of years. Mm-hmm. It's about almost about half the price, to okay. be honest with you.
Awesome. Cool. So you make your way on Disney Fantasy. What were your first impressions of the ship?
Walking on board, you know, one of the most impressive things was that when you first come on the ship, the Disney staff there at the doorway, they announce your family name as you enter into the atrium area, which was really cool because my 10-year-old daughter, you know, she thought that that was great to have the family name announced. And then as we walk into the open area and seeing all the characters that were there waiting on us and all the decor that Disney specializes in, it was a really, really nice experience to see that walking on board.
I've never been on a Disney ship at all. How did the main atrium look? Does it look like a normal cruise ship, like as far as the style and all that?
It was similar to some of the other cruise ships, but this one seemed to be more open and more spacious than some of the other ones we have been on. We've been on Carnival before, you know, which are kind of, you got the spiral staircase and so forth, but this one in Disney seemed to be much more open in the area and a lot more buzz going on with the characters and Disney staff people on board.
Nice. So you make your way to your stateroom. So what kind of stateroom did you have and what did you think of it?
We had a midship deluxe balcony stateroom. It's extremely spacious. The great thing we liked about it was that it had two bathrooms, which you don't find on many of the other cruise lines. You know, one bathroom with a sink and a shower, the other with a sink and a toilet. And then the open area where the bed was and a sofa that folded over into a twin where my daughter slept. All that was great to have sitting space area. The balcony was extremely spacious for there. I love to sit out on a balcony, especially in the evening, and kind of watch the waves and watch the stars. So we didn't feel like we were falling all over each other like cool. we do sometimes on other cruise ships.
So let's switch gears here and talk about the dining aboard Disney Fantasy. Now, Disney does dining a little different. They do what they call rotational dining. So for the people who don't know what rotational dining is, Anthony, could you kind of walk us through that and tell us about your experience?
Absolutely. Disney has three main dining venues. And rotational dining is each night you rotate from one to the other of the three dining venues. So during a 7-day cruise, we were able to dine at all three of those at least twice. And the good thing is your staff and servers actually rotate with you. So the people who already know, you know, what kind of drinks that you like and how you like your food, get to know you by name, they're going with you. And so there's three main dining areas. One of them is called the Enchanted Garden. It kind of has a garden fairy, Tinkerbell kind of feel to it. The Royal Court, which is more like a royal castle where you have, like Beauty and the Beast. And Animator's Palette, which was geared towards animation with screens around the walls. That was probably my daughter's favorite, especially one evening we had the ability to take this placemat they gave us, and within this little grid area, we drew a character. And then during the dessert time, they put our characters up on the screens around the room and animated them.
Cool.
So that was really, really neat to be able to do that.
Did they have Crush talk in there at all with you guys?
Yes, they did.
That's awesome.
Crush was interacting with some of the people at the tables, yeah.
That's so cool. And as far as the Lido Deck dining, how was the main buffet area?
The main buffet area, you know, called Cabanas, it was really great. And I liked the way that they had actually broken out the different types of food options into like stations or centers. So you weren't standing in one big long line like you would at some buffets waiting just to get something to eat. So you could kind of pick and choose and kind of walk around and find the station you want to and very short lines, walk up, get what you wanted. We would eat there, you know, breakfast and at lunch frequently. Never had a problem finding a seat either. That was a nice thing, not have to roam around to look for a place to sit down and have lunch or breakfast with your family.
Very nice. Now, did you go eat at any kind of like poolside venues or any place like that?
Not much. We, you know, they did have an area where you can get pizza and burgers and things like that. So occasionally we would stop by there and get something, especially if it was mid-afternoon snack or late in the evening when all the other venues were closed. But we typically didn't eat lunch there. We typically hit Cabanas.
Cool. Let's talk about the entertainment aboard Disney Fantasy, because one thing Disney Cruise Line or Disney in general really excel in is entertainment. What did you think of the shows and the entertainment offered during your week-long voyage?
Well, Doug, I can't say enough about the onboard entertainment that Disney does. It is top notch. We were able to see three Broadway-style shows while we were there. One of them was Aladdin. The other one was one called Disney Wishes. And the third was a Disney Believe. Extremely great performances by the cast there. Really made you feel like you're in New York on Broadway watching the Aladdin, you know, when you're sitting there watching it. So those were outstanding. Also, we had the option to go throughout the week to see onboard movies. A lot of the movies that were playing at the time, like the new Jungle Book, Zootopia, Alice Through the Looking Glass, seeing those movies on board in 3D at no charge, obviously. And so the pirate party that takes place on the deck one evening with the fireworks was also great entertainment to watch Jack Sparrow show up and put on a great show on the deck as well.
Nice. And as far as the firework display that Disney does on their ships, how was that? It's got to be pretty cool experiencing a fireworks show at sea.
It was phenomenal. We actually, after we finished dinner one evening, we went up to the deck, and one of the crew members kind of gave us some pointers as we were trying to find a place to stand. We had the late dining, and by the time we got up there, you know, most of the rail space had been taken up and was occupied. But one of the crew members told us to go to the port side of the ship and stand on the rail because they would be firing the fireworks off to the starboard side. And so we did, and we got a great view of it shooting off up above us, and we could see it off in the distance from where we were standing. So we greatly appreciated that tip from the crew member.
That's awesome. One thing that really defines a cruise ship is how it behaves while the ship's at sea and between ports. So how did Disney Fantasy handle passenger flow around the pool and inside during sea days?
Well, the ship was busy, but we didn't feel overwhelmed. Disney offers so many onboard activities and entertainment options that no one area feels overcrowded. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the movies on the inside, like we were talking about earlier, you know, in 3D. You've got the Broadway shows that are taking place. You've got even movies on the big screen on the main deck where the pool is. Plenty of deck space with chairs and other activities, including like the kids club for people to take advantage of while on board. So we never had to fight for deck chair space or stand in line for much of anything. Including the aqueduct.
Cool. And how was that? How was the aqueduct?
The aqueduct was great. Mm-hmm. I did it a couple of times, but my daughter was on it time after time after time. As soon as she would get off, she'd go get back in line again. And she really, really enjoyed that.
Being 10 years old, was she able to, or did she take part in any of the kids' programs on board?
She did. Every night after dinner, she would go spend a couple of hours at the kids' club. And then, of course, during the week, when she wasn't on the aqueduct, she would go spend a few hours throughout the week on sea days in the kids' club. She loved it, absolutely loved it. We, you know, we've been on several other cruises before with other cruise lines. And when I asked her about, you know, what she liked about this one, she said everything. This one was much, much far above all the others. And so we enjoyed seeing her eyes light up coming back from Kids Club every night.
Nice. Very cool. How about the ports you hit? This is a 7-night Eastern Caribbean sailing. So what ports did you hit and which one was your favorite?
We had three ports. One was Tortola, British Virgin Islands. The second one was St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And the third was Castaway Key, which is, you know, Disney's private island. Out of all three of those, obviously, I'm going to go with Castaway Key. There's nothing like a private island on any cruise line's itinerary, and it's a beautiful island. One thing I liked about this one is that we docked there and did not have to tender like you do on some other cruise lines to theirs. You know, the characters were off the ship on the island to have photo ops and interact with the kids and the passengers. Easy to find beach chairs and umbrellas. It was a wonderful experience until a tropical storm showed up.
What happened there?
Well, I guess about halfway through the day, we saw a tropical storm coming straight at us. And so we ended up having to gather up our stuff, and we went into the pavilion where they served lunch. And we were able to have lunch. The storm kind of passed over, but the rain never went away. The good thing was Disney did a great job of modifying their onboard activity schedule for that day. We went back to the ship, and as we were boarding the ship, they were giving us a modified itinerary for what was going on the ship. and did a really good job of changing it to accommodate the passengers coming back on the ship during that day while the storm was going on.
Well, that's good. Very nice. So you make your way back to Port Canaveral. How was disembarkation? How does Disney do disembarkation? Was it seamless like everyone always says it was?
It was fairly seamless as far as the Disney portion of it. We did have a little bit of a wait getting through customs. That was a pretty significant line to get through customs. But what we were told that day was they only had a partial crew from the customs office there working the lines. So trying to push several thousand people through just three or four lines was a little slower activity, but wasn't bad. Once we got on through, we got back to our shuttle, went back to our parking lot where we had a car and able to get back in and head home.
Any first time tips you may have or may want to give anyone sailing Disney Fantasy?
Probably say a few. One of them is absolutely don't miss the shows and the movies and the photo ops. Those are things that are fantastic. You know, the photo op opportunities are ones where you would spend, and we've experienced it, you would spend hours waiting in line at Disney World to get your pictures made with some of the princesses and characters. And we never had to wait more than maybe 10 minutes on board a ship. So take advantage of those while you can. Don't think that the ship's going to be overcrowded just because there's kids on board. The ship is huge. There's plenty to do and everything is spread out. So you never feel overwhelmed. And of course, you know, don't overlook your room stewards and hosts and how well they take care of you. People don't talk about those people all too much, but we got to give them a lot of credit. They work very hard to take care of you during your cruise. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Looking back during your whole 7-day voyage with your family, what was the biggest highlight of the cruise for you?
I guess the biggest highlight was just seeing my daughter's eyes just light up every time we would go see a character or allow her to experience the Disney magic. You know, the entire cruise was wonderful just to see her be able to experience that magic.
Did you do any pre- or post-cruise time at Walt Disney World?
This time, we did not. We made a trip back in the fall to Disney World, so this time we just did just the cruise.
Very cool. Well, in closing here, Anthony, I just want to get your final thoughts of Disney Fantasy.
Disney Fantasy is a ship like no other, in my opinion, and if you've never been on Disney Fantasy, it needs to be on your bucket list.
There you go. We've been talking with Anthony. He just returned from a 7-night Eastern Caribbean sailing aboard Disney Fantasy with his family out of Port Canaveral. Anthony, my friend, thanks for being on the show and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.